I'm very pleased to be here with you all this afternoon, and also privileged to be speaking with such a great panel of people. These are people I've read over the years, and I'm really excited to be here. Okay, I'm here to present to you the results of a systematic review of the literature that examined rural immigrant Latinos and Latinas in the United States. The objectives of this talk are to define the scope of the problem of intimate partner violence, IPV, in rural immigrant Latinos, to discuss reasons why rural immigrant Latinos face significant barriers as IPV victims, and lastly, to analyze the quality of evidence of IPV interventions for rural immigrant Latinos. So what this represents is an exploratory first stage of what my research team members at James Madison University are hoping to be a longer-term study in my area in Harrisonburg, Virginia, which is in the western part of the state, very rural area. Our interest in this topic is informed by our research backgrounds in IPV, domestic violence, culturally aware care, rural health, and Hispanic health. So it's with Sandra Annan and Linda Sobel and myself. We live in a rural town of Virginia where the Hispanic population has increased very steadily from 8% of the total population not so very long ago to about double that, and it's very much increasing in the area, so this is a really important topic, I think, for where I live, and I know it's not unusual in this country. Our area has a long history of migrant labor up and down the Shenandoah Valley and poultry processing. We have 6 poultry processing plants locally, so the plants employ people from many immigrant groups, but Latinos represent a large percentage of the workers. Based on our clinical work in the community, we recognized that this was an important area of inquiry, and so we decided to conduct a 3-pronged systematic review of the literature to examine the evidence. So here's what we know, and this represents various kind of two-way combinations of the search terms that we were using for the literature review. So as far as rural health and IPV, there are barriers to seeking and receiving care for people who experience IPV while living in rural and remote settings. And that does not include necessarily Latinos, but just rural people in general. Yet physical and sexual violence in rural settings is understudied. Differences include social differences, social barriers such as everybody knows everybody else, and I live in a small town, so I can tell you this is true. Sometimes there might be more patriarchal views of women that might be represented. Economic, rural areas are often poorer areas, and so sometimes there will be fewer opportunities, lower pay income, which can be stressors. Physicals, longer distances to high-quality health care, mental health care, and there are many people who live in very, very isolated parts of the country. And fewer public services available, such as forensic nurse examiners, medical specialists, SANE nurses, etc. Other specific barriers to seeking and receiving care include decreased access, possible confidentiality issues, sometimes educational barriers, and definitely barriers related to transportation. For instance, in my area, we only really have bus service in the town, but not in the rural areas around it. Okay, regarding rural health and Latinos, barriers to seeking and receiving health care in this group include possible, not always, but possible client and provider language barriers, the likelihood for now of a rural-dwelling Latino person being able to receive care in Spanish is less than the likelihood in an urban area. Decreased availability of culturally competent care. Social isolation in many areas of the country without cohesive rural Latino population groups. We might have cohesive urban communities, but rural, it's a lot more scattered. And again, limited transportation. Scarce resources are also an issue, and being rural and being Latino together represents a real double whammy. 2009 census estimates show that of the nearly 50 million Latinos in the country, about 30% are living below the poverty threshold. And last, considering Latinos and domestic violence in general, we found that it is really difficult to determine prevalence. Latinos represent a group that is already undercounted in census data, and rural Latinos are likely more undercounted than urban Latinos. A similar situation exists with rural poverty data in general. Cultural factors, protective and otherwise, machismo and marinismo can be either positive or negative. Degree of acculturation seems to be linked with violence, with the more a woman identifies with American culture, the more likely she is to report violence. This is probably because of research issues such as language ability, perhaps, or shifts in that particular woman's perception of what might constitute violence, her own self-definition, perhaps. Recent immigrants represent a particularly vulnerable group because of decreased knowledge about related to the American social services and health systems, and also lower network of social support when you first get here. Legal issues related to reporting are also apparent in the research. For instance, one thing that really stands out for me is that Puerto Rican women report a higher rate of IPV, but perhaps this is because they don't have deportation to worry about as in their reporting, right? Language barriers at all levels, and sociologic risks for Latinas in general, such as number of children, younger age, and on average, as a group, a lower education level on average. Latina women are also more vulnerable to the consequences of IPV, so linked with increased suicidal ideation, increased risk of femicide, and poor mental health outcomes. So all of these issues are complicated by the fact that much of the research on Latinas and IPV does not actually address differences between groups of Hispanic individuals. So to conduct a systematic review, we used Cooper's method for synthesizing research. I won't go into this in great detail, but just according to the format, our research question problem formulation addressed the patient population. So we were looking at rural, and then we looked at both initially immigrant and Hispanic people and victims of IPV. Interventions, we were specifically looking to find programs related to IPV for that patient population. The control would be no programs. And then the outcome asks, what would positive outcomes of interventions be? Possibilities would be, you know, let's say increases in self-esteem, better physical health, separation from abuser potentially, or change in relationship pattern. That's what we were looking for. Okay, and just for the methodology, briefly, we used 13 databases. We tried to get out of medicine as much as possible with criminal justice literature, Medic Latina, ERIC, et cetera. Inclusion criteria, we included research studies only published within the last 10 years. We started with 5, but we hardly had any results, so we increased it to 10. And we only included studies in the United States. There were other studies possibly, but we wanted to just include the U.S. Exclusion criteria, we did not include studies related to perpetrators. There are excellent studies about perpetrators, but we did not include them. Also, we excluded child abuse articles as well as adolescent health. We did not exclude men who were victims of IPV particularly, but we did not have any articles that addressed those for that three-pronged search. So I did keep the term Latino in there to try to be inclusive, but it actually technically doesn't really apply for what we found. All of our results addressed only heterosexual relationships. Same-sex relationships were not addressed in the articles that we found. So the mesh terms that we used to search were domestic violence, Hispanic American. We also used Latino because that one, even though Latino was supposed to be included under Hispanic American, we did find that it was producing different results, and rural health. We had two areas of focus for the review. We wanted to examine the literature regarding the problem scope and then ask what is the quality of evidence for IPV interventions for rural Latinos. And the results were, actually, I have the worst typo I could probably have in this whole thing is that we had 8 studies, not 9 studies, met inclusion-exclusion criteria. And we found, not shockingly, but officially, we did find IPV among rural Latinos in particular is not well understood or well documented. And studies included a literature review of IPV in Hispanics that looked at place, urban versus rural, but did not specifically focus on rural. The one study that was in that literature review reported that urban residence was a risk factor for IPV, but didn't really address rural particularly other than that. Other studies included a study in which the researchers examined the correlates of IPV in Latinas, social, demographic, work-related variables. Participants in that study were rural Hispanic women who worked at various blue-collar work sites in rural counties in eastern North Carolina, so that's probably a pretty similar area to where I'm from. Duke et al. Explored the prevalence of IPV among a mixed gender sample of stationary farm workers in California and wished to provide insight into stressors facing farm workers and effects on family life, and also looked at gender-specific associations between hazardous alcohol use, acculturation, work-related stress, impulsivity, and IPV among workers. Another study that examined the gender differences in alcohol use and IPV, in which the other study included stationary farm workers, this one was migrant farm workers. Two studies, an interesting group of studies by the research group of Benke, Hancock, and Ames that included Latino church group leaders. The first study investigated church leaders' beliefs about domestic violence and how they might react to specific situations in their congregations. And then they did a pilot study that specifically addressed roles for immigrant churches in promoting, in protecting women at risk for abuse and to supply resources to support church leaders in this endeavor. And last, there was a study examining knowledge and attitudes towards IPV of rural Latino immigrants in North Carolina again. So prevalence estimates. IPV in this group is very, very hidden, but we do know that IPV among Latino immigrants is common, and it's one of those things that we don't want to get too stuck on what is the prevalence, right, because that would prevent people from really examining it further. It looks like it's about equal, possibly, to non-immigrant women at most studies reported around 20% lifetime prevalence. However, one study, Kim Godwin, reported 70% of rural Latinas experiencing violence in the past year. That was the highest number. The lowest number was 17% that I found throughout the studies. And none of these studies examined specific Hispanic groups. Most were probably Mexican-American women that were included. Some interesting findings around prevalence. I already talked about this before, the acculturation factor, that the English-speaking Latina women experienced IPV reported at twice the rate of Spanish-speaking Latinas, so there are many possible reasons for this discrepancy, possibly the language ability of the assessor and whatnot. We did not find any high-level evidence, according to the way we did the literature review, and to support a particular intervention. And this is fairly common, although I know that there are some really exciting intervention research studies going on for domestic violence in general, but definitely in terms of Latina women and domestic violence and rural, all of those things, there were no intervention studies per se, except the one with the, not a very high level, but the one with the church leaders was the intervention study that we found the most of. Okay, so these are some results that we also found. Correlates of IPV for Latinas. In rural Latinas who experience IPV, risk factors include a history of physical sexual abuse. These are not very different from non-rural. Young age, low level of education, alcohol and drug use, isolation, that one might be different in rural, and linked to poverty level of neighborhood. Knowledge and attitudes about IPV. Many Latinas do not personally identify, when asked, IPV as a top problem in the community, but they definitely reported that they know it exists in the community. Men and women both, when interviewed, agreed that alcohol and substance abuse were often related to IPV, and that issue was reported by both rural Latina and Latino people as a primary community need. So I thought that was interesting. That was raised in the needs assessment. Service needs analysis. Some examples from the literature included the need to disseminate information about special provisions offered to undocumented women in the Violence Against Women Act, protective orders, and other legal information in particular. Also recommended were community-based English language classes, job skills training, peer counseling, and routine screening for IPV. Alcohol and IPV in rural Latinos. All studies reported heavy alcohol use common in rural Latino communities, and that's linked to IPV. Church-based solutions. This one, I think, was the most interesting to me because it was the thing I knew the least about, probably. Pastors in the rural immigrant churches reported functioning in multiple ways related to IPV. They reported functioning basically as, like, career counselors, social workers, financial advisors, and in addition to being pastors. Although they take on these roles, they often have limited training about how to do so effectively. So considering the high rates of domestic violence in Latinos in rural settings, many church leaders reported being anxious and hesitant to provide domestic violence services in referrals and to effectively intervene. So Hancock et al. Developed a 3-hour-long workshop for pastors that included definitions of IPV, referral information, and specified steps that churches can take for victimized parishioners. Summary of findings. So there's clearly a need for more research in the population. There is a need for more and effective routine screening of alcohol use in primary care settings in particular. And that, of course, is coupled with appropriate follow-up and referrals. This is complicated in rural settings because of what we know already about rural settings with, you know, where are you going to refer to if there's already a lack of resources and also a lack of culturally appropriate resources. It's a real dilemma. There seem to be definite differences between rural and urban, definite differences between Latina and non-Latina. And well, a lot of the research has focused on urban areas of the U.S. Related to the Latina community for IPV. Areas of the U.S. where there's a large and long-standing Latino population, for example, lots of studies focus on the Southwest U.S. or California. The research that some of the preliminary research that I reported and research that really needs to happen is probably going to be set more in areas with less established Latino communities, newer rival communities, and a lot of those communities are in the Midwest, the Southeast, such as my own. And that does include primarily rural areas. So I think it's going to be really different types of research. Recommendations from the literature related to policy. That includes addressing immigration at the systemic level, addressing socioeconomic disadvantages at the population level, and also the ability for people who are undocumented to access services. Some recommendations included workplace intervention, healthy neighborhood programs. Practice recommendations from the literature, ID which factors are modifiable and which are not. So modifiable ones could be some of the policy ones that we talked about before, maybe such as things related to job training or income or access, and then obviously some are non-modifiable, such as age. There's definitely the need for more research. Cummings in particular noted that there's not a lot of examination of protective factors as opposed to risk factors, which a lot of the studies really focused on. Some examples would be to focus on strengths in the community, such as strong family ties, respect for mothers. This is important because examination of protective factors can really work at decreasing stereotypes that are possible with this type of research. Morocco et al. Recommended outreach efforts to emphasize the seriousness of IPV and adapt educational content to address differences between men and women related to perceptions of IPV, and also campaigns for raised awareness of domestic violence in the Latino community. Next steps. When considering the systematic review within the context of an evidence-based practice model, We even though we didn't have lots of high-level evidence results, it still was very informative. We were able to identify a problem. We went to literature. And now the daunting big picture plan would be to work on intervention research. I know that that's a huge task. And I think the exciting thing about coming to a conference like this is exploring possibilities to partner with other universities and other agencies to work towards that. For me personally, for our research team, I think what our next area of inquiry is probably going to be is to talk to a lot of different community agencies about this issue to just see what's already out there. That would include lay health promoter organizations such as we have in our area, Latino church leaders, and there are a lot of churches in our area that are Spanish-speaking and rural. Poultry plant, occupational health nurses would be an interesting resource to talk to. Domestic violence agencies, in addition to, of course, primary care providers. In addition, it is clear that there is a need for interventions for rural Hispanic Latinas experiencing IPV in particular. So I would be really excited to hear your ideas. Thank you very much.